anyway,
go for it.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in today, and I'm looking forward to the conversation and the questions. We're calling from our temporary quarters in the transition office, and this is sort of the first day that I've been in the office here, and so we've been kind of working through systems, getting things put in place. I did have a chance to go back over to the treasurer's office and spend a little time over there first thing this morning. We have, of course, a SLID meeting tomorrow. Just a couple of comments on the race. I think probably most of you heard my thoughts last night, but just to reiterate, I'm incredibly honored and humbled, as Jenny and I both are, to have this opportunity to serve Wyoming, and feel very strongly that Wyoming has a very, very bright future, and obviously we want to do our best to make that come to fruition. I thought the primary race was a tough one, with full of very good candidates. And I think the general election was also good, with full of very good candidates. I think Mary Throne ran a very credible campaign. I think Rex had some interesting ideas and good thoughts about Wyoming, and I really also appreciated Lawrence Strumpf. Two different campaigns, two different messages, but feel very fortunate to have the people of Wyoming respond to our message as strongly as they did. It was wonderful to be last night at the watch party. It was a little bit of a surprise to have it called quite so quickly, wasn't entirely prepared for that, but it was really wonderful to have as many people as we did in the room last night, really from all around the state. The people that helped to build our campaign team, and the people that helped to carry our message locally. We had all generations there, from four-year-olds who were doing door knocking all the way up to, some older folks that were also there. So great cross-section of Wyoming, and a lot of enthusiasm. Both Jenny and I felt a tremendous warmth in the room there last night, and very anxious to move forward. So that, I'm sorry to be quite so talkative, but there we are. So.
Great. Well, we'll open it up to questions. I'll go through and I'll just call on folks, and if you don't have a question, that's great. We'll just keep moving. I'm going to start with media who weren't able to connect with him last night, and then we'll get to the other folks as well. So Jim O'Reilly? Do you have any questions?
Sure. Mark, congratulations. Let me ask you, you're going to inherit several issues from Governor Meade's administration. One is the grizzly bear issue. I'm wondering about your thoughts on that. Also about water issues in Wyoming. Governor Meade launched the 10 in 10 initiative. And I'm wondering if you're going to carry forward with that, or if you have different thoughts about water projects in Wyoming, and whether there should be the project should be more priority based than just first in the queue.
Well, Jim, thank you very much for that. Yeah, you're right. I think we have the grizzly issue, no pun intended. Governor and I have had a very brief conversation on that. I do feel that Wyoming developed very good data about that population, and I think those data should inform the decision. And I'm unclear whether the state will appeal that decision. I think there's some legal ramifications to what the appeal may do, or just go in and rewrite another delisting. Both of those I'm open to. I do feel that the work that has been done by the last couple of administrations on the Endangered Species Act needs to go forward. It does need to be reformed. It needs to be an act that really is centered around, species recovery, as opposed to the goalposts that we've seen over the last couple of years. And I think it's very important that we have local input, local control, local advice in making those decisions. And so I want to pursue that. As far as water is concerned, one of my biggest worries for the state going forward is that we address our water concerns promptly and wisely. I think the governor's 10 in 10 program is already underway, and I think I want to look at that whole program again, and I don't have any reason necessarily to change it, but I do want to make sure that we make our programs more accessible for smaller operators, smaller irrigators, making sure that our water development program more successful and achievable, I guess, for lots of users.
Okay.
So thank you.
Robert from the Pinedale Roundup, do you have any questions?
Yes. First of all, congratulations. I wanted to ask, in light of the Roosevelt fire disaster up here in Sublette County, what steps can the state take to help with the recovery effort and to prevent fire disasters like this from happening again?
Oh, well, thank you, Robert. Thank you for your good wishes. I was up there last week and got to fly over on a 1969 Cessna 182, got to fly over most of the Roosevelt fire and met with many of the residents in Bondurant. I'm aware that the state has already taken a couple of steps to bring road engineers in from YDOT to look at what we can do to sort of stabilize roads there. I think our forestry department has got some folks up there that are working on addressing trees that might fall imminently. And then I think Homeland Security has looked at some of the other issues there. I want to follow up with their efforts. I know the people in Hoback Ranches are concerned about, a lot of snow falling quickly and what that might mean for spring runoff. And so I'll follow up with all of that. So I think those ongoing issues I would like to see continue. When we talk about our interface with the forest, I think we need to have more ability for Wyoming to be able to pull some of the levers on how we manage those fires. I don't want to get a little bit ahead of myself, but my understanding is that there were some choices that were made that were unfortunate in the end, and we need to make sure that Wyoming has more of a say in how we handle those things. I personally have some experience with fire management, having a ranch, and the Cato fire back in 2012 was just north of our property, and I can remember that. The course of that fire was similar to the Roosevelt: high winds, very high temperatures, and there's a little bit of lack of coordination and other things that I'd like to see us address. It can't be more specific than that because I just don't know as much as I need to know about that. But thank you, Robert, for that question.
Thank you.
All right, Brady from KBBS.
Yeah, Mark, what do you see as the biggest issue facing Wyoming over this next term, and what steps could you take to help resolve that issue?
Well, thanks, Brady. I think one of the biggest, certainly probably the biggest issue for us is how we make, I don't think it happens within a year or a biennium, but how we set a course to having a fiscally stable future. That I think is something that I want to make the hallmark of my campaign, or not campaign, but my time as governor, is really being able to better set our priorities and to make sure that we that we match our expenditures with our revenues. I think there are things we can do to grow our economy. So the tie on with that is how do we diversify and grow our economy? And I've spoken on the campaign that I don't mean to diversify away from minerals. I mean to be able to add value to them, but also bring other businesses to Wyoming so that we can grow our revenue streams as well. I think those two things, on a very high level, are critically important. We obviously have issues with funding education and healthcare. That again, I think, looking at how to measure progress for my administration, it's going to be what progress have we made on those three fronts. You know, I've also talked a lot, Robert, and this is one of the things we'll do right from the start, is making sure that we get the resources that local communities need. And I'm not talking about just money, because that's obviously one of the things, but how do we get technical expertise down to communities like KC or Claremont so that they can build their infrastructure more successfully?
All right. Andrew from Wildfile, do you have a question?
Sure, yeah. Kind of adding on to that last question, Treasurer Gordon, what's your number one priority for the legislative session that is really just around the corner here?
Well, Andrew, thanks. I think the number one priority that I want to bring to that really is transparency, making sure that people of Wyoming understand the budgeting process, that they understand where their expenditures are going, that they understand where their revenue streams come from, and then they understand the choices that we make today and what the implications are for the future. I think as you know, we've talked about this transparency working group. We've talked about it, hitting its stride during that session, and that's one of the things that I hope to be able to bring out of that. There are several other little pieces that I'd like to see as well, Andrew. I really want to look at our agency structure and see if there are ways that we can reorganize that structure that be more efficient for businesses coming into Wyoming. Would like to work with the legislature on that. One of the real hopes that I have is that we will be able, under the Amendment A structure, which, allows for a broader range of investments on our non-permanent funds. So we have the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust and a couple of other things that are in that Pool A structure. I'd like to set up an endowment for career and technical education, like the Hathaway, but set it up as an endowment, and that way I think we can start getting matching funds and other things to grow that part of what's going to be critical to growing out our workforce.
Okay. Michael from the Sheridan Press. Oh, sorry. Andrew, is it related I come back to
you.
Yeah,
do you mind if I ask a quick follow-up? Just sure. When you talk about transparency during the session and making the budgeting process more clear, you know that budgeting process pretty well. Is there any, single thing you think legislators can do this session that'll simplify that, make it more transparent?
Andrew, from my standpoint, part of that is going to be setting up the expectations, because when I bring my budget in that following session, I want that to be absolutely transparent. So, it could be things like having it more accessible on a web page, a number of things like that our working group is going to work through to come up with some recommendations on that.
All right. We'll go to Mead Groover. Mead, do you have a question?
Yeah, thanks again, Krista, and congratulations again, Mark. Mark, you've said a lot of things that sound like a good deal of continuity from Governor Meade's administration. I was wondering if you might highlight some areas where you anticipate taking a significantly different course of action.
Well, Meade, thank you for that. Let me put it this way. I think my administration will have a very different cut on, how we stand up our agencies, and some other things. I sort of feel awkward because I think you're asking me to sort of draw contrasts between what I would be doing and what Governor Meade has done, my response to that is, I think Wyoming has an incredibly bright future, but there's a lot of things that we can do better, and I don't want to really contrast that against Governor Meade because I think he's done a great job. But I do want to make sure that we have a much more open policy, that we're much more transparent in how we, how the people of Wyoming can understand what it is we're up to. I want to make sure that in our diversification efforts that we focus down to building out our communities so that entrepreneurs and small businesses and new businesses can really grow from the ground up. I really want to address our infrastructure over time, and I've really talked about a couple of ways that we can do that using both the State Loan and Investment Board and maybe other technical resources of the state to help those local communities build out their infrastructure plans, build out their maintenance programs and other things so that we aren't caught with some catastrophic issues of, sewers failing and all that sort of stuff. And in saying that, I'm not in trying to imply that Governor Meade has missed the boat on that. I don't think he has. I just think that my focus will be much more in those communities. I think Governor Meade's been a big champion of those, but I think giving the resources to those local communities so they can do more for themselves, that's one thing I really want to focus on. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Nick and or Seth from the Casper Star?
Thanks so much, and good to hear from you again, Mark. Last night in Cheyenne, and as you mentioned earlier, you said one of your first priorities as governor was to take a look at the state's bureaucracy and various agencies and determine ways to streamline a number of those. Have you set priorities yet for what agencies might specifically be looked at first? Have you seen any particular area where there might be log jams, anything that might be off the table for now? And is there a specific process for how this would roll out?
Yeah, Nick, thank you. Thank you for that. I think one of the first missions of the transition is going to be sitting down with the directors of each of these agencies and going through a kind of a regular process of discussing where they can see improvements that are possible, asking some questions about if there's better alignments that we can achieve. And I think we're just going to walk through from probably the largest agencies right down to the smaller agencies. My priorities are going to be really set on the things that I've talked about. How can we make it easier and more efficient for people to do business in this state? So I'm going to look at my experience in the treasurer's office is if a new company wanted to come in and they wanted to avail themselves of state programs or something else, they would have to go visit maybe three or four or five different agencies. I'd like to see we had, and some states have called them SWAT teams, but sort of more organized efforts. So when a company comes in, they really don't have to visit five different places. They have all the resources and the people that are necessary at their preliminary meetings, and then that can follow up from there. So that's one of the things that's going to set that. I think there are some systems components to the state that I think could be refined. I've asked Sam Galeotis to help organize an effort to look at our entire technology platform, if you will. We talked, you know, lots of times we talk about ETS, but really what the state needs to do with its technology. And because that's going to be so critical, not only for our government agencies, but as we build out to the communities, our broadband initiatives, the broadband coordinator and all of those. And then also just being able to anticipate and react to what is an incredibly rapid sort of change in technology. And so, you know, Sam and I haven't really met in person on that, but he said he was willing to do it, take a look at envisioning how our state can go in the forward. And so I'm really looking forward to having that conversation with him.
Thanks.
Sorry, Nick, did you have a follow-up related to this?
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay, great. Seth from the Caster Star, do you have a question?
Yeah, congratulations, Mark. So last night, three Western states, red, relatively rural Western states, passed Medicaid expansion. Looks like Montana might have gone the other way and declined to pass some of those taxes. I wonder if those other three states moved your needle at all on Medicaid expansion, or if that's still a no-go for you.
Yeah, I just don't think it's necessarily the right solution for Wyoming at this time. My concern is two concerns. One is if we expand Medicaid, the arguments about covering more people and all that, I understand. The question is, to me, what happens if it starts to gobble up our budget, as some other states have seen, and then we have to, go back on some of those programs, and we've already built a more expensive cost structure. I think that Wyoming's small enough, and we have some unique opportunities that I'd like to pursue that are more state-oriented, less federal government, and really see if we can address many of those issues the same way. You may remember that we had that high-risk pool that the state had that was, we completely dropped that because the ACA came in and negated its purpose. It's kind of unfortunate people get sort of seesawed in these large mega policy discussions, and I'd like to see us find a state solution the way other states have. In all the three states that you've talked about, they put that in front of the voters, the voters made their choice. I guess my concern is, working with the legislature, can we find a good workable solution for Wyoming that addresses those issues, brings our costs down, makes our costs more transparent, makes us a more market-friendly environment for insurance, and then I'd like to work with our delegation to really address the systemic problems for the ACA that we see coming out of Washington.
Kristen, can I ask a quick follow-up?
Maybe.
Sure. So, Mark, when you and I spoke, 2 months ago, we spoke about that pre-existing condition litigation, and you said you wanted to kind of do a little more research. Have you kind of developed a position on that? Is that something you might consider joining or against joining?
I honestly haven't had a chance to do as much research on that as I'd like, and that's certainly on the top of my list here during this transition period. A little easier to focus now.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
All right, Sloan with K2. I think that was Sloan with K2.
Yes, it is. Sorry, I kind of introduced myself in two parts. But congratulations, Mr. Gordon, on your victory. My question is a little bit similar to some of the earlier questions on the budget. You could just go through some of the areas in which you are, the budget faced, we faced anywhere in the hundreds of millions of dollars of budget deficit in the last session, and obviously this upcoming session is not a budget session, but what areas are you willing to defend, say education, healthcare, things like that, and what areas are you willing to reform heading into these sessions in negotiations with legislatures?
Yeah, well, you know, the legislature has a well-established at this point battle line between the Senate and the House, what I would like to do is to look at how we can let's make sure we understand what our costs are on education. Let's make sure that we have those properly addressed. And I think that's a further discussion we need to have. There are some opportunities. I've been talking with Chairman Northrup, about some of the work the Education Committee has done and others. So I don't want to second guess that. But Sloan, specifically what I'm talking about in our budgeting process is I think our rainy day fund needs some parameters around it. We need to understand what the definition of a rainy day is. I think we should put limits on how much of it we can use in any given year. I've talked a lot during the campaign about how Oklahoma's model, they have a much smaller rainy day fund, but how the Oklahoma model can be instructive. They allow for the one-third of it to be used in any one year and another third to be used between 2 years if there are extenuating circumstances, and then that remainder being left for those extraordinary circumstances. And I think that's helpful in budgeting because it really defines the limitations about how you can use the rainy day account. You know, right now there's a lot of sort of push and pull about where that used, how much of it gets used, a lot of policy discussions, and I'd like to set those a little more specifically. I'd also like to kind of revisit what our spending policy reserve accounts do. Those are designed to make sure that our investment earnings have a steady stream of income, and I think our investment earnings are going to become ever so much more important. This is the first year that we've been number one for the general fund. And so being able to depend on those year in and year out, that is a critical piece of our budgeting infrastructure. And as we get more disciplined and those investments grow, they'll produce more income over time. So those are a couple of things, Sloan, that I really want to focus in on in the budgeting. Right now we have big, you know, accounts that get holes drilled in them for various purposes because it's hard for us to make choices. And I'd like to make those, you know, those policy statements much more airtight, if you will.
And just a follow-up on that, if the legislature happens to bring up some form of tax restructuring, can you just give us your thoughts immediately before that comes up?
I've mentioned over and over again, I don't think now is the time really to be raising taxes, but I am willing to talk about tax structure. I want to make sure that Wyoming is a low tax and business friendly state going forward, and finding that fiscal stability is going to be absolutely critical. So if the legislature does come up with something, I will certainly look at it. But I think there's a lot we can do before we ever start talking about raising taxes.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Ramsey from the Tribune Eagle, are you on?
Yeah, just had to find my mute button there. Kind of just going off of that last question a little bit, I had a chance to talk with Greg Hill over at Endow last week, and one of the things that he said is that he thought when the legislature deals with any potential changes to this tax structure, is completely up to them. But he did say something to the effect that while Wyoming is dealing with a better than expected revenues, now is the time to act as opposed to trying to change tax structures and revenue structures when we're dealing with deficits. What is your reaction, or I guess your thoughts on, tackling this issue now while Wyoming is in a better place financially as opposed to waiting until maybe mineral revenues are down before trying to tackle something like this?
Ramsey, good question. And I have to say that, I think one of the biggest lessons that you learn in investing is not being whipped around, you know, at the tail end of things. And so I agree with what Greg has voiced there. I think having a more robust revenue picture is not a time to say, oh boy, our times are great. We don't have to worry about anything. I think it is a time when you say, how do we set some really solid policies that go forward to make sure that the following years and our children have better opportunities to have a stable revenue source going forward. So I have not, Greg and I have talked off and on over the last couple of years. I haven't had a chance to sit down specifically with him or to really get into the detail of what Endow's talking about, but I certainly support the chance to really talk about how do we make Wyoming a much more fiscally stable state going forward.
Is there anybody else who's jumped on the line who hasn't had a chance to ask a question yet?
Yeah, this is Andrew from the Telegram up in Torrington. Yeah, Mark, again, congratulations. I'll echo that from everybody. We're looking at, or we're seeing a lot of governors working on agricultural diversification, specifically on markets. You look to the east and you see Pete Ricketts is working with several Asian countries and other countries to open markets for their ag products. What can you do? What can you focus? How can you direct your staff to work in a similar situation for the smaller producers in the eastern, specifically a lot of them in the eastern part of the state? Where can we find new markets?
Well, Andrew, thank you. Ag is a particularly close topic for both Jenny and for me. Jenny just graduated from LEED this last weekend. And then I'm excited because aren't you all holding an Ag Innovation Summit here sometime soon? I think Ashley told me.
There's something coming up here, yeah. I think the next, I can't remember if it was before or after the first of the year, but yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the last one was done up in the Powell area, and you guys are next on the list. I'd like to see those efforts expanded. It was exciting last year. I opened that conference in Powell and sat through a lot of it, and I was just really interested to find out from many of our peers how their university system is helping ag producers differently than Wyoming is, all of those things. And so I'd like to see that go forward and really put some weight behind it. I've talked about country of origin labeling and grown in Wyoming. I think these are both in this marketplace where consumers really want to understand where their food comes from. These are really important initiatives. And, you know, Wyoming obviously has some of the best organic wheat that's produced. And we have Wyoming Authentic Products and some other great things going on. You talked a little bit about our reach to the east. When I think about it, I guess that would be Asia. When I think about that, I think a lot about, the governor stood up their trade office in Taiwan. I'm excited to follow on with that effort. And I'd like to see us expand that effort to, helping. I think there are some producers in the state who have expertise with dealing with China, or not China, but with Japan, perhaps China too, maybe reaching out even to Singapore and other places to grow and expand that effort. I think our beachhead is that trade office in Taiwan, and I certainly would like to see that grow and expand. But I also think that, particularly with our beef industry and our lamb industry, that there are opportunities looking towards Europe and looking to sort of the value-added market that we can bring there. So uh, for this administration, certainly one of the highest priorities is going to be on expanding our ag sector.
Just a quick follow-up. You mentioned the university system. How can the state bolster community college system in that ag training realm?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the things I talked about at the beginning was, standing up the separate, really trust fund endowment model to really be able to benefit career and technical education. You know, Eastern has that phenomenal welding program, and it'd be great to see that expand. You're really talking about what we can do to kind of grow and expand agriculture. I served on the Sheridan Agricultural Extension Advisory Board for the university, and I'd like to see that we get good people on that, bring more ideas to the fore, find some partners that can help expand financially those efforts. And then, frankly, I think one of the things that's going to be that was really interesting about that Ag Innovation Summit was looking at some of our peers where they use their community college system to really help ag producers, not so much with advice, but with technical services. So if somebody was, I think about gluten-free oats or something like that, if they needed the work done to test what the serving calories were and all of those kinds of things, the community colleges could do that with them. So I just think there's a lot that we can do there.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay. Mark, well, you want to say anything
first? Sure. Well, thank you again. It's just a little bit less than 24 hours ago, so I'm maybe not as coherent as I'd like to be, but I've really enjoyed the conversation, and I want to make sure that my administration is open and accessible to the press and to others. That's certainly one of the big things that I want to focus on going forward. And so thank you again for joining this call. We'll try to make sure that through Kristen, if you have any follow-up questions or ideas, please feel free to call. What we'll be doing over the next several weeks is standing up a transition team. We've already got some pieces in place. But I'll let you all know how that's going to go as we go forward. And then we'll just kind of build out a program as we go. So thank you very, very much.